Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sylvia F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Wednesday, August 2nd, 2017. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 77, the second paragraph, which is the last paragraph, which starts under no condition, and we're going to read through two paragraphs, ending with "It's water over the dam." Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Sima M, 12 Traditions, Rocky I, and our readers are Karen T, Mary H, and Jody EQ, and our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference number for Tuesday, August 1st, for the 10 a.m. meeting is 10228, and the reference code for this morning's meeting at 7 a.m., Wednesday, August 2nd, 7 a.m., is 10230. Our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sima M. to read the 12 steps. Sima? Star 1, Sima.
Good morning. This is
there
Sima.
There we go.
Good morning. This is Sima M. from New Jersey, grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery today. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for asking me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Sima. And I will now ask Rocky I. to read the 12 traditions. Rocky.
Hello, good morning. This is Rocky. Can I be heard?
Yes, Rocky. Thanks.
Okay, great. So, Rocky recovered in Tempe, Arizona. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige diverge from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, OA should never remain forever non-professional, but service centers might employ special workers. 9, OA as such can never be organized, but we might create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, OA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name can never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Rocky Eye. How our meeting works, and if you're unmuted, please mute and we'll keep the line quiet. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. And if you exceed your 3 minutes, I'll give you a gentle reminder. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 77. It's the second paragraph, which is the last paragraph, which starts under no condition. We'll read that paragraph and the next paragraph on the top of 78. So we'll read two paragraphs, and it will end with "It's water over the dam." And I will ask Karen T. to begin reading. Karen.
Hi, Sylvie. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Hi, I'm Karen, a recovered compulsive overeater from Louisiana. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the path. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemy sometimes prays what we are doing and wishes well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. I looked up the idiom, water over the dam. And it's a phrase, a phrase special to English. And it says, something that happened in the past and no longer affects the present to a degree that is worth worrying about. So what this is saying is no matter what, how the person takes our amends, we do not have to worry about it. That's in the past, and it's not worth worrying about. It's water over the dam. We have the dam is holding, and other stuff can just spill over it without consequence because we have the dam in place. So I thought that was interesting, no matter what they do. I had a problem in high school, and I did something against the law, and I went back to the principal of the school, and I said, it was me. I confessed it was me, and I'm so sorry. The police had to get involved, blah, 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 blah. And the principal said, I do not remember what you're talking about, Karen. He had no recollection of it whatsoever. So that was one reaction I got, and that's just water over the dam. And my ego wanted to get in there. What do you mean you don't remember this? It was just water over the dam. It doesn't matter. I had done my amends, and whatever reaction we get is water over the dam. The other part is that we have to be calm, frank, and open. That came in the paragraph before. I cannot be calm, frank, and open when making amends if I am still resentful towards the person. So I really need to do steps 6, 7, and 8 and become entirely ready to make the amends. And part of that entirely ready for me anyway is getting rid of the resentment. I have to get rid of resentment so I can be calm, frank, and open. Otherwise, my resentment can ooze out in my body language or in the tone of my voice. And that's re-harming the other person. So really getting to a place where I can be calm, frank, and open, sorry for my part, and go in there with an open heart. So thank you very much for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much for your service. Now, we'll take about six people who want to share. I'll start in there.
Laura W.
Carrie S.
Carrie S.
Ginger C.
This is Carrie B. I have a question when that comes to that point.
Okay, it'll be at the end of the hour, which will be at 10 of the hour, Carrie.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Carrie H.
Who else wants to share? Carrie H.
Yes.
Okay. I could take two more. Do I have one or two more? Okay. Well, we'll stop there. Laura W., Carrie S., Ginger C., and Terry. Laura, let's start with you.
Thanks, Sylvia. Good morning, everyone. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in South Jersey. It's, this grade 2 paragraph. Simply, we tell them that we will never get over drinking unless we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. There's a lot of musts and there are a lot of nevers in the first 164 pages, and this is a warning. This is a warning to me that if I do not clear up my side of the street, I will not get well. And this whole process is about changing who I once was into who God wants me to be now. And I heard this morning somebody share about, you know, this is not about forgiveness. This is about change. And that really hit home for me, you know. This is like, that's what amend means. Amend something means to change. And if I keep repeating the same behaviors over and over and just keep saying I'm sorry, that's just, in my opinion, pointless for me to do. You know, and also I have to be very careful to remember that self-satisfaction, which sometimes comes from making amends, you know, of speaking to somebody that I've harmed, is not my objective here. It's not my goal. I need to become willing to make amends, knowing that, you know, at this point, I have to know that by doing this, I'm going to be healed and I'm going to be of maximum service to God and my fellows and be able to move forward knowing a little bit more and desiring even more God's will for me. And I'm grateful for the reminder of this and the fact that as I live in 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, when an amend is necessary, which it is, you know, when these things crop up, I make these amends clearly and immediately and hopefully not repeat this behavior. But again, this is all about becoming who the person God intended me to be. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura. We have Carrie S. and then Ginger C. Carrie?
Hi, thank you, Sylvia, for your service. This is Carrie S., gratefully recovered in Colorado. And what jumps out at me today is the idea of change. This and in the spiritual appendix in the back, the spiritual experience on appendix 2, where it says God consciousness followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. And I like that idea where, for me, my experience was I was doing some senior care in a private home. And I had, this was a couple years back, and I had an episode where I went around and just was eating and eating and eating. And I talked to my sponsor later that night, and I said, I love this job. I love this family. I'm not going to be able to keep doing this job if I'm in their food.
And my sponsor talked to me and she was like, well, let's amend this. Okay. This is, you know, my suggestion is write down every item that you ate. You're going to sit with the owner of the home and you're going to tell them why this is not, you're not able to continue on this path. And it was so challenging. I had such, it was hard, you know, but she was so gracious. And rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. I was calm, I was frank, I was open, and I was so gratified with the results. And so I have all these experiences thanks to these steps that helped me recover. And I just want to share one last thing. I heard from this brilliant speaker this past weekend at Fellowship of the Spirit. She said, if you're in a face-to-face meeting and you hear somebody quote the Big Book, go up to them after the meeting and thank them and do your part to share this, the directions in this book. Thank you so much. God, I pass.
Thank you, Carrie S. Ginger C, followed by Carrie H.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much, Sylvia, for your service, and hi to everyone on the line. I'm Ginger C, recovered in Colorado. And I just love this part of the book because I really got tripped up in it going through my 12 steps. So the last sentence, you know, it says we've made our demonstration, we've done our part, now it's water over the dam. And, you know, the gift in the earlier part of the sentence in that paragraph says 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens, thank you, God. Because truly most of my amends were amazing, especially the one around my mother. But I had one amends that did not go the way that I thought it should go. You know, I had a sister, and she still to this day will not accept my amends. And I really got tripped up around this. I needed to complete all of my amends. And so thank goodness for sponsorship, you know, our guides, because my sponsor was so clear that we have to let go of the outcomes. I don't know how it's supposed to go. But I have to rely on infinite God that knows all, this power that I lack. You know, and I was so grateful again for the guidance, because I really, at one point, I was like, well, she won't accept my amends, that's fine, but I'm going to send her a letter because I need to complete this, don't you know? If I don't, I very well may eat again, and I can't afford another bite in my mouth. And I'm so grateful I didn't send that letter, because that's harmful. She made it very clear she was not going to accept my amends, and she may not have been ready. And how selfish and self-centered of me to push my will, because Ginger's got to have it Ginger's way. Isn't that the core of all my problems? So again, so important to have guidance as we go through this, because the last thing we want to do is create any more harm. There's been plenty of harm done. And as an addict, I lie, I cheat, I steal, I want my way. So it's sort of funny we're in this paragraph, because I actually just did an amazing, amazing 10 step around this very issue. This sister was still yanking my chains, you know, and I love that we have clear-cut directions. When I'm bothered, I pick up the phone and first go to God, of course, but then I pick up the phone if I have to talk about it and work through it. Not always, but boy, when I'm not getting released over a matter, I got to talk to someone about it. And they help me to see where I'm stuck and to see my truth. And I was so selfish around this sister. And now today I have a freedom and a shift in my heart. My heart's actually open to her, and it's been pretty tight. So, so important to stay in this work, because again, this disease wants me each and every day. I know I'm just an elbow away from bending to picking up. And I prayed that I never have to experience the pain of eating again. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ginger C. Terry, I think it's Terry H.
Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Grateful, very grateful today. It's a beautiful day. The amends process, I was so grateful the way my sponsor walk me through this process. I had no idea what I was doing. I never stayed around long enough anywhere to make amends to anyone. I just ran away. And, I really, to get to this part in my recovery, in my program, I definitely had to complete steps 1 through 8, wholeheartedly, 100% all in. And, you know, I really had a sincere desire to set the wrongs that I made throughout my life correct. And there are a lot of things that, you know, people had done to me as well. But, you know, at that time in my recovery, my focus was to clean my side of the street, clear it up. And if I was to be of maximum service, you know, this was part of my recovery. And my connection with God to be maximum service of God with God. And so I was so grateful for the structure that my sponsor laid out for me in making my amends to other people and throughout my recovery. I definitely, if I was talking to her in a mirror, it would have went very smoothly and, you know, very calmly. However, you know, these are other people in other lives with feelings. And all of them didn't go as smoothly as I thought when I was practicing in the mirror. But I was just very grateful for the opportunity to be there, to do my work, to do it with a sincere and honest heart. You know, those people closest to me were the most difficult. And each day I tried to work my program to be a living amends to those people in my lives that are close to me. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity as well. Just to be alive, to be present, to show up, to work my program, to expand my connection and the gap with my higher power, you know, and just being available is huge for me today. And, you know, no longer, you know, fear and shame no longer control my life. You know, fear and shame helped me run away. And love and strength and courage and trust helps me to be still, be present, and continue to participate in life today. And with that, I'm very grateful. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Terry. I'm going to take another list of readers, but first we're going to pause right here for a very important announcement from Kathy Jo P. Kathy, can you unmute?
Hello, this is Kathy Jo. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, people, we are indeed hosting a convention this year, just the way A Vision for You likes it. The Power of the Big Book, a weekend of inspiration, education, motivation, and fellowship, September 15 through 17, 2017, at the Liberty International Airport Marriott Hotel and Convention Center. Have you registered to save your seat? Don't gamble on it. The Marriott is full, but we have the Renaissance Hotel available and only a mile away with a shuttle running at all hours. The deadline is fast approaching on August 24th. All details and registration for both the convention and the hotel are found on website at avisionforyou.info. Now, back to this compelling big book study and sharing. Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you, Kathy Jo. Now let's get back to generating lists for who wants to share on this. Names?
Penny, Shannon, L.C.
Okay, I've got Penny, I think Penny L.C., and everybody else was a pile on.
Shannon S.
Shannon S.
Sima M.
Sima M.
Shawnee B.
Shawnee B.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Gina R.
Jody EQ.
Gina R. and Jody EQ, and that'll probably be great for this list. Okay, so we've got Penny LC, Shannon S., Sima M., Shawnee B., Sherry KB, Gina R., and Jody EQ. Boy, we were all so beautifully arranged there. Penny LC, let's go ahead.
Good morning, Sylvia, and good morning to everyone. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I felt compelled to just share this little section of my big book. Has all kinds of writing in the margins. My sponsor gave me some extra guidance that I think is worth sharing. Just to mention that, you know, when I'm making my amends, I'm making the amends, but it's without an excuse. You know, this is not my opportunity to justify my behavior. I'm to show up and own my own stuff. And then suggestions of the process was to come from a neutral place. And it doesn't need to take a day, you know, 10 minutes. And I get to name the harm, not just embellish, you know, that I'm sorry. That's not the point. It's naming my harm that I've done. And how can I set the wrong right? Asking for their input. And then pledging to do it if there is something that can be done. And also asking if I've left anything out, you know, allowing that person to give me some feedback and trusting that whatever they say, I will be able to hear it and process it and manage it the way God would have me do that. And then, you know, to ask God, if there is a next step, what that is, you know, to be able to set my pride aside and just be humbled in that moment and to bring my higher power into it. You know, and then be able to just let go of it. Let go and let God fill me with that sense of release and feel the gratitude for having walked the path. And that was all I wanted to share. Hope everyone has a great day. Take care.
Thank you, Penny Elsie. We have Shannon S. followed by Sima M. Shannon? Star one. Shannon, we can't hear you yet. Star one.
Hello, this is Shannon. Can I be heard now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I thought I was unmuted. Good morning, Sylvia and everybody. This is Shannon S., recovered just outside of Buffalo, New York. Thank you, everybody, for your service and for the past shares. I related so much to what has been shared so far. And the two questions that my sponsor encouraged me to ask that were so scary for me were, have I left anything out and how can I make it up to you? And I remember saying to my sponsor, well, what if, you know, they say something, you can make it up to me this way, and what if I don't want to do it, and what if it's, you know, terrible, awful? And again, I was brought back to the place of it's not about you. And allow God to control this. Don't buck your heels and start wanting to control again. And it was a beautiful, beautiful process. And I love too that, you know, our part here is to do our part to clean up our side of the street. And if people choose not to accept our amends, that's not our problem. We've done our part, and we can have that clear conscience. We can be unblocked from our higher power. And, you know, I heard just a little bit earlier is, like, sometimes people aren't ready. You know, how long was I not ready to address my food addiction? And no matter what people said or did, I was not ready. And so, again, trusting God that He is controlling this. And sponsorship is, I mean, so critical throughout the entire process. And my sponsor was so, so helpful. Writing the amends scripts was invaluable. At first I thought, I don't need a script, I can do this. Again, self-will. And writing those scripts was huge because I needed to recognize my wrong. Also, my people-pleasing kicked up and my sense of over-responsibility. And there were some people that I felt like I had wronged and that I owed amends. And my sponsor was able to point me to the fact of what real harm have you done? And again, I just love these steps, but they're not a once and done. You know, I'm constantly working these steps all day, every day. And currently I have a situation with a very old friend that she has a perceived wrong, and she came across very manipulative and very, very inappropriate to me about that. And immediately my first instinct is, oh, my goodness, I have to fix it. I have to make it right. I have to do this. I have to do that. And then, you know, with talking with some other recovered fellows, I realized that I have not done any harm. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't and won't recognize her feelings and acknowledge that, but it's very important that I don't play God and that I don't try to fix something that I haven't broken. So both sides of the coin. I have to clean up my mess, but not every mess is mine to clean up. And that's one amazing thing that this program is continuing to teach me. So thank you, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Shannon S. Sima M., followed by Shawnee B.
Hi, this is Sima M., grateful compulsive overeater living in recovery today. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. I've gotten so much out of it. This is this part of the steps in these amends is something that when it comes to close family members where there were complicated, unhealthy interactions that have been going on for 30, 40 years, and it's hard to unravel sometimes. And I appreciate what people have said, that sometimes it's not my part, and sometimes it is the other person's part. And I constantly have to stay in communication with my higher power on a daily basis in the relationship I'm in with my husband, because from day to day it changes. His mood changes. The way he reacts to me changes. And then I start to wonder, is it me or is it just something that he's not ready to change the way we interact with each other? And even though I change my part, doesn't mean he's going to change his part. So I'm grateful for the continuing, ongoing study of this process, and that every day is a new day, and every day God gives me new messages and new ways to correct my behavior and new ways to accept the behavior that I cannot change. And and with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you to everyone for your service.
Thank you, Sima M. Shawnee B., followed by Sherry KB.
Hi, Shawnee B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from South Jersey. I'm in the car. If I'm not clear, please let me know, and I'll pass. But I really am so grateful for everybody on the line today. I'm grateful that we're up to this step in the big book. I had some one or two amends that were left on my 8-step list that I hadn't yet taken care of, and I kept on saying that it's not convenient. It's a 2-hour trip away, and I'm going to do it when I'm back in that area. And when we read, you know, I've been feeling a while about this, that, you know what, it's never going to be a convenient time. When are making amends actually convenient? And we were reading the other day that I told myself I'd be willing to go to any length. So what is a 2-hour car trip? That is not a hindrance to any length. I mean, and I'm actually on my way there now. I'm in the car. I'm on the way to make these last two amends that came up on my 8-step list. And I really appreciate everybody's messages today and strength and guidance. And you know, there is some fear involved every time I make an amends, and what I get out of it is just so infinitely great that I could have never imagined. So I'm taking my higher power along with me, because he's wherever I go. And you know what? My God is the highest power that there is. So what a blessing for me to have that with me when I'm doing something that I need power, because if it was up to me and myself, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be facing my past, and I wouldn't be righting wrongs that I've done. But what a great blessing to be able to do this and be free of the things that have been blocking me from complete serenity. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Shawnee B. Sherry KB, followed by Gina R.
Good morning, Sylvia. Good morning, everybody. This is Sherry KB in Northern California, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service and everyone on the line. So I'm just going to jump right in here about, yesterday we read about how under no condition do we criticize. No, that was it. I meant before that. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. And then we, under no circumstances, do we criticize such a person or argue with them. And then we have, our manner must be calm and frank and open. And so with that, going in, you know, having that, which is great instruction, I know that some of the amends that I made, I remember especially one with my husband, there were a lot of things that he had caused harm to me, and I had to really, because of step four, because of being freed of that, in step five, six, and seven, I was able to make an amends to him for judging him. That was one of the biggest things that I had to make an amends for in a continue living amends that I do. And, you know, there was so much more that he had done to me, but, you know, if I am still holding on a resentment, this amends doesn't work. And so what I noticed is just I felt my higher power with me when I made the amends to my husband. And then I had an amends I made to this friend who didn't accept my amends. And this was quite a while ago. And I just remember, you know, reminding myself and my sponsor telling me at the time, how free did I want to be? And so the interesting part is I've ran into her lots of times, and I can look at her in the eye and not avoid her. And I can feel her uncomfortableness around me, but that's not my problem because I did make an amends, and it is about changing my behavior. Also, with my sister, I had an issue with my sister, and actually she came to me to tell me everything that she didn't like, what I had done to her for years and years and years. And what I did is, you know what, I stayed quiet. I listened to what she said. I didn't criticize. I didn't comment. She said, do you want to say something? And I said, no, I'd like to get back to you. And, you know, I prayed on it for quite a while. And when I did go back, you know what I told her? I said, I'm sorry I wasn't the sister you wanted me to be. And I will try better in the future. And that blew my mind because that is not something I would have done in the past. And I know it was all my higher power leading me to do these things and to clean up my side, not criticize one bit, not hold on to the resentment of whatever they did, because you know what? I want to be free, and I felt so much better, and I did feel very connected to my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Gina R., followed by Jody EQ.
Good morning, Sylvia, and everybody on the line. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body in Colorado, heading to Arizona. My comments this morning are going to be centered around mostly in the role of sponsorship, and I will be putting my number out at the end of the meeting to ask for calls on this because I do need some help from my fellows. But because I haven't had the kind of experience that many have had as far as being a recovered sponsor with this and knowing some of the telltale signs, I feel like the intuitive thoughts I'm getting from my higher power regarding a sponsee's resistance to making a particular amend are on point. But what I'm seeing is a shift, at least in myself, as I'm noticing the resistance in somebody else to doing this. And what I'm also recognizing is, even though I am certain that this would be beneficial for them to move forward, I'm also sensing that the timing may not be right. And if she truly is not prepared to make this amend with a clear conscience and an open heart and fully having resolved the resentment she has toward this person, it could create more harm. And so I'm just so grateful for hearing other people's specific experiences, where they've gone well, where they haven't gone so well, and just having this open to us every day where we can come and know that we don't have to figure it all out. And that is a character defect that God continues to refine in me. I don't have to be the one to figure this all out. And but anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to share, and I will leave my name and number later. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina R. Jody EQ.
Thank you, Sylvia and everyone, for this wonderful meeting. This is Jody EQ, gratefully recovered in Arizona. So I love this last part. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. So if I'm not feeling calm going into an amends, I need to try to get myself there somehow through prayer, meditation, speaking with my sponsor, other recovered people, whatever it takes, so that I can go into the amends in a calm way. For myself, I need to be in a place of humility. Could be that I'm very upset about something I've done, and I'm not comfortable when I've done something wrong, and I'm afraid that people aren't going to like me. I'm quite the people pleaser, so I don't like it when I think that somebody doesn't like me. And getting to a place of calmness in that case can be difficult for me. So I have to pray for humility and humbly ask God to take away that extreme codependency that I have. I want everybody to like me, and that's simply not always going to be the case, especially if I've done some harm. But before I can make my amends, I need to pause and ask God to take away that fear that they may not like me, and go into the process humbly. I may have done a harm, yes, I've done a harm, but that does not mean I am worthless and not worthy of any respect whatsoever. And again, also, I have to let go of the result. They may not accept my apology, they may not forgive me, but they may not like me from here on out. And I have to be okay with that somehow. Perhaps I can pray for them. If they do not forgive me and that's upsetting me, I can pray for them ongoingly. And that tends to bring me serenity. So that's my contribution to this wonderful discussion. Thank you, everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Jody EQ. I have time for probably two more shares. Who would like to slip in here?
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, may I share, please?
Laura S. in New Jersey.
I've got Wendy, I heard. And I'll take a list of names and we'll just see how many we get to. So Wendy and
Laura S. Yeah, okay. Good morning, Wendy M. in Colorado.
Thanks, Wendy. And then Deborah. And we'll see if we have other time for anybody after that. Go ahead, Wendy.
Sure. So grateful for the shares today. They're phenomenal. And Sylvia, thank you for your service today. So, yeah, I want to be liked too. And one thing I really, really needed to look at when I was making my amends was my motive. And, I knew it was about my side of the street. But it was also, and could be, how do I feel? Does this amends make me feel better? Was I self-seeking? And if I felt great, then the amends went really well. So I have to look at, this is not about me feeling better. This is about me owning my behavior and making a sincere attempt to make that amends. And it's been repeated today, but amends means change. And I can say I'm sorry till I'm blue in the face, And at least I know now that when I'm saying I'm sorry to somebody, that it's suspect. And that what I really need to look at is how would I change my behavior? Because it's not what I'm saying to people, because my whole life was what I said to people. I'll just say this and they'll like me. I'll just say this and it'll be over. I'll just say this, you know, and that just wasn't, it's not about that. It's my behavior. It's what I do. It's how I act. It's how I treat people. And that's really, for me, the amend. The other thing I heard, a couple things, was don't delay. Don't delay. It doesn't matter. I can think of so many reasons not to pick up that phone or send that letter or meet them in person. I can think of so many reasons. And something that was very helpful was don't delay. Don't delay. Make the amends. And so that was, all of those things were very, very helpful. And yeah, I just want to say too that it was a transformative experience. It was transformative, and it didn't matter what other people, like the results, as people have said. But it's a spiritual experience to make an amends. And the one that really freed me up was going to my father's grave and reading the letter and just weeping and weeping. And it was, oh, thank you, God. You know, thank you, God. What an experience that I have a program that tells me how to do this. That was the other thing. I was given like 6 lines. Okay, these are the 6 points we make. And that was really helpful because it meant I didn't have to go on for hours with somebody about how sorry I was. It went straight to, you know, exactly the points you make. I regret it. It was inappropriate. It was inconsiderate. You go right to the point. It's not about my emotions. And it's not about me creating some, you know, conversation with somebody so eventually they'll like me at the end of the conversation. It was just right to the point. What was my behavior? How did I harm them? And what's the restitution? And, yeah, it was brilliant. So thanks for letting me share it.
Hey, thank you, Wendy. And Devorah.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Devorah S. in New Jersey, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God, and thank everyone on the line that makes this possible. And, you know, getting to this step, you know, you think by now I shouldn't have any fear because, after all, I did my writing and my sponsor heard it, and I asked God to remove these fears, and I did the fear turnaround, but yet still there was fear there. And what for me, I needed really to sit in meditation and prayer to know that I wasn't going to go in alone and that God is here with me throughout these amends. And you know, I did have, you know, I sat with my sponsor and I wrote out a script and she looked at it and she, made, you know, a little tweaked it here and there. And I needed to remember as well when I was writing this that it is not about me. It's not like a shopping list. I'm just going to try to get everything in that list and make sure I go shopping and pick it up. It's not just a to-do list. This is life and death. This is something I need to do in order to stay in recovery and that I don't go back to eating. So this was something very serious, and I had to take time and effort and another person with me, my sponsor, to help me and guide me through this. It wasn't just, you know, a flippant errand that I was doing. And that made it much more meaningful. Really grateful because the truth is today when I do make amends, I don't do a flippant apology. You know, I say I was wrong. I say the behavior that I did and I apologize for doing any harm. And that's a real apology, not to just fluff things over. Really grateful for the directions. And, you know, if our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. And that is for sure in everything that I undertake today. You know, I need to stay calm and frank and open and accepting and patient. I'll add a few of my own. And when I do that, you know, it's limitless. You know, the sky's the limit. because then I could feel God's presence next to me, and he showed me where I need to be and what I need to do. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Wednesday. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And please stick around for after that. We'll greet newcomers and sponsors. But Mary H., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I sure will. As I get to that page, I was intently listening to everybody. Sorry, 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.